Good morning, Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Aleph. We're starting on Lamed Amid Beis. We're starting today at the Mishnah. Okay, the Eidus HaChodesh, just one more round for this Masechta. And we're going to be focusing today on the Shir during the Karbanos of Rosh Hashanah. It can get a little bit complicated. It is a little bit complicated, slightly confusing. But hopefully I'll provide some clarity on the issue. Why are we discussing it now? We're in the fourth paragraph. We're talking about Rosh Hashanah. So, but we're also talking about the Tekanos Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. So starting with the first Mishnah of our fourth parak over here, we are stringing together a number of Takanas Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. The reason why we got into the topic is because the first of the Takanas have to do with the blowing of shofar on Rosh Hashanah, which falls out on Shabbos. So when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, so there is an Isser D'Rabbanan to blow shofar on that Shabbos. There's an Isser D'Rabbanan to move a shofar, Gzera D'Rabba. But nevertheless, if you are in the presence of Basin, so then you're allowed to do so. So, and the reason why you're allowed to do so when you're in the presence of Basin is, as Rashi points out, because the Ain Shvos B'Mikdash. That's the way Rashi describes it. Okay? So that's when there's a base of Mikdash, and that's when there's a Basin in the base of Mikdash. However, in a situation where there's no longer a base of Mikdash, which Rav Yochanan Zakkai lived during the Churban base of Mikdash, so what do you do? So Rav Yochanan Zakkai made a takana that as long as you are within the presence of a basin, so then you could blow shofar. Variations of what exactly the takana of Rav Yochanan Zakkai was it Yavne? Was it any Beisdin? Was it Beisdin de Krai? Okay, so we have various versions of that. But anyway, that was the first of the takanas of Rav Yochanan Zakkai that you can blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shabbos. When you're in Yavne, let's just say it like that. It's nice and simple. It's not totally accurate, but okay. That's one takana. And then what we've been doing since then is that the Mishnayos have been following along a number of other takanas. In yesterday's Mishnah that we did on Lamed Amud Aleph, so we went over two other takanas for Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. One is that you're going to be taking Dalaminim all 7 days. The mitzvah min haTorah b'gvulin is only to take Dalaminim only on the first day, but his takana was to take it all 7 days Zechel Mikdash, because that's what was done in the base of Mikdash, where there's a mitzvah to do Dalaminim all 7 days in the base of Mikdash. And then, additional to that, Yom Hanef Kulo Aser, that the day of the second day of Pesach, the 16th day of Nisan, so when there's a base of Mikdash, you bring the Karban Omer, the Karban Omer is Matir, all the Tvu, all the grains of the of this past year, when there's no longer a base of Mikdash, so Heir HaMizrach, so really where sunrise is when everything becomes Mutter, and then, since Rav Yochanan Zakkai, so he was misaking that the whole day is going to be outside. That Yom Hanef is a description of the 16th day, the second day of Pesach. So Kulo Aser, it's going to be Aser in its totality. And the Gemara yesterday gave explanations in terms of why. Okay, good. Now we're up to another Takana of Rav Yochanan Zakkai. So if you've been keeping score now, so that's 1, 2, 3. This is our fourth Takana that we are going to be describing over here, Berishona. Originally, Hayim Mekabel Me'esach Chodesh Kol Hayom. So the basin would be there prepared to be Mekabel Eidus the entire day. Now, which day are we talking about? So we're talking about the 30th day of Elul. So the 30th day of Elul. So we've described this day already numerous times, and we get to describe it here again. And that is today Rosh Hashanah? Well, when the calendar is fixed, so then we know the answer. The answer is going to be yes. But before the calendar was fixed, and that was for, since Matan Torah, up until the period of the Amoraim, the Tkufa of the Amoraim, so the calendar was not fixed, and Beis Din would be the determinant in whether or not this day would in fact be Rosh Chodesh / Rosh Hashanah or not. So now imagine where Beis Din is now waiting, and also this is where it gets a little bit complicated, and you now have all those karbanos to bring. So after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, so you no longer were taking into consideration the Beis HaMikdash and the karbanos, but Bizman Beis HaMikdash, so now we're going to be a little bit confused in terms of what to do regarding the karbanos. And not just the karbanos, but also the Shiras Hayom, which is going to be a big part of today's daf. But first, let's tackle the karbanos. Which karbanos are brought on Rosh Hashanah? Well, in the morning, you have the Tamid Shel Shacharis. Okay, that's standard. Then you have Musafin to be brought, if in fact it's Rosh Hashanah. And then after the Musafin, then you have the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. Okay, good. We also have Shira. Now, Shira, as we know, when it comes to carbon seber is brought. So, and then together with the carbon seber, you have the nesachim, the wine that's being poured in conjunction with these carbon sebers, carbono sebor, and then together with the wine that's being poured, so the Levim are going to be singing Shira. What Shira are the Levim going to sing? It depends on what day it is. So it's going to be a function of whether it's a weekday, which weekday it is, whether it's a yontav, whether it's a Shabbos, whether it's Shachris, whether it's Musaf. Okay, so there are a number of variables which are going to determine what exactly the Shira is that are going to be sung by the Levim. With all that stated, so now we look at the Mishnah. I'm starting the Mishnah again. So Barishana, you mekabim esa chodesh kol hayom. So originally, so Basin was there on the 30th day of Elul, prepared to accept Edom the entire day. And then Pamachas Nishtau Edom Alavom. Now one time the Edom came exceptionally late. So late on the afternoon of the 30th, so then and only then the Edom came. Now here comes the problem. The problem is Miniskalkul Halavim Bashir. So now the Levim said the wrong Shir Shalyom. Okay. In other words, what should they have said? So they should have said a Shir Shalyom that is that was connected to Rosh Hashanah. But because they came so late, because the Edom came so late, so the Levim therefore assumed that today was not going to be Rosh Hashanah. It's just on a regular weekday. And at Mincha time, they sang a Shir Shalchol and not the Shir of Rosh Hashanah. Now, it's fair to ask at this point in time, what is the Shir Shalchol? What is the Shir of Rosh Hashanah? Stay tuned. That point will be clarified. But that's what happened. And as a result of that, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai says that that's no good. So it led to a mini disaster. So therefore, what he did is he capped. He said that we are no longer going to be accepting Edom anytime post Mincha. Meaning if the Edom did not come up until Mincha on the 30th day of Elul, so we are just simply not going to accept them anymore. Now, what if Edom do in fact come? So, no, Haganos or Yom Kodesh, we're going to finish off today B'Kedusha. We started off today B'Kedusha. Now, we start off today B'Kedusha. What do you mean? It's not Rosh Hashanah. Okay, good. But remember, we're going back to a time where it could be Rosh Hashanah, and we simply don't know. So, what we're going to do, and this Rashi spells this out, and I'm just saying over Rashi. So, what we're going to do now is that as we enter into the 30th day, meaning the night prior, so we're going to behave as if today is Rosh Hashanah. We don't know if it's going to be Rosh Hashanah, but it could be. And as we already learned numerous times, most of the time it was in fact Rosh Hashanah. Meaning they basically ended up being Mekadesh that day, but we don't know. So therefore, we're going to go into that day with the thought process that it's going to be Rosh Hashanah. Now, here's where it gets a little bit tricky. Now, Edom did not come that morning. Edom did not come midday. Edom came late afternoon. In fact, it came post Zman Mincha. Now, originally, before the Takana of Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, we would just simply accept the Edom. But Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai wasn't happy. The Levim ended up singing the wrong Shira. So therefore, we're going to now just simply say the Edom, hey, do us a favor. You're going to come back tomorrow. And tomorrow will be Rosh Hashanah. So what do we do for the balance of today? So the Mishnah says, I'll tell you what we're not going to do. We're not going to call off Rosh Hashanah. Meaning, it's observed Rosh Hashanah. It's not actual Rosh Hashanah. Actual Rosh Hashanah is coming up tomorrow. It's observed Rosh Hashanah. And so what we'll do is we'll finish off today as observing Rosh Hashanah. It's not actually Rosh Hashanah? Fine. Rashi points out over here, but I'm just paraphrasing Rashi. But here's the story, though. If we tell the Edom to come back tomorrow, and we basically call off Rosh Hashanah altogether, so you know how we are. Next year, we're going to say to ourselves, look, we don't know if today is going to be Rosh Hashanah or not. And remember what happened last year? They just called it off. So then we're going to be lax about it in the upcoming year. So therefore, to maintain the sanctity of that day, so therefore, we're going to finish off that day B'Kedusha, even though it's not actual Rosh Hashanah, it's just simply an observed Rosh Hashanah, and tomorrow will be actual Rosh Hashanah. So Yom Kodesh L'Machra Kodesh, Mishachar Beis HaMikdash. Okay, now, that was the Takana of Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai during the last years of the second Beis HaMikdash. Now, unfortunately, we have the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So Hitim Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shiyu Mekam Esa Chodesh Kol Hayom. So unfortunately, now there's no longer an issue of Shira. The Levim no longer have to say Shira because there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no Karbanos. And so therefore, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai brought it back to the way it originally was, which is that we're ready to accept the Edom Kol Hayom, even in late afternoon, right? Because they were still Mekadesh Al Pi Ariya even after Churban Beis HaMikdash. Okay. That takes us through the basics of the Mishnah. There's still some points that need clarification. Notably, on the 30th in the morning, okay, as I pointed out, we go into the 30th day of Elul with the possibility that today is Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, we're going to be observing it as Rosh Hashanah. Okay, the Tamid Shel Shachar of the morning of the 30th. Okay, so what Shira are the Levim singing? So Rashi over here writes they're going to sing the Shir Shachol, weekday Shira. Now I know that's confusing, but as Rashi points out over here, but look, we don't know if today's Rosh Hashanah or not, and the Edom haven't come yet, so. we're going to sing the Shir Shochol. Now, now for those people in the Beis Hamikdash, I totally understand that it could very well be, it could be very confusing, in which we're observing today as Rosh Hashanah, but meanwhile, you're hearing the Shir Shochol, I know that part's confusing. What about the Karban Musaf? Well, I'm only going to be bringing the Karban Musaf and singing the Shira of the Karban Musaf if in fact Beis Ham was Mekadesh as a Chodesh. Now, if Edom did not come any time during the day, and they came after Mincha, so after the Takana of Rav Yochim and Zakkai, so problem solved, because we're going to just simply tell the Edom to come tomorrow, the Mincha we're going to be treating like Chol. The problem was is that in the year where it was immediately prior to the Takana of Rav Yochim and Zakkai, so the Edom came post-Mincha, we sang a Shir Shel Chol, and now what ended up happening is that that they ended up turning into Rosh Hashanah, and the shir was all the wrong shir was said. Now, hopefully, it bothers you. The wrong shir is being said. Okay.
What about the carbon?
So hopefully, what's bothering you is what about the carbon? Meaning, we know that if in fact the Beis Din declares today to be Rosh Hashanah, so you have a whole series of carbon musafs that need to be brought. So what about the carbon musaf? Why is the Mishnah so focused on the shira? What about the carbon as well? So the easiest way to say the Mishnah, the Rambam says it like this, is that when the Gemara is talking about the Shira, it's also talking about the Karbanos as well. It means the Shira and the Karbanos. You can see Tosfos over here spends a lot of time going over the fact that it's not too late for the Karbanos. We could bring the Karbanos. Karban Musaf needs to be brought before the Tamashal Bein Arbaim. Under normal circumstances, that's true, but this is an extenuating circumstance, so you're allowed to bring the Musaf even after the Tamashal Bein Arbaim. Okay, good. You're right. That's why Tosfos over here discusses it in detail and in length. Karban Pesach, we normally think as the only exception that can be brought after the Tamid Shel Bein Arbaim, right? That's certainly the impression you get when you read Pesachim, which, right, we did not so long ago. Anyway, so but Tosfos is convinced, he's absolutely convinced that under these circumstances, you can bring the Musaf afterwards. Okay, fine. It is unusual that we're focusing only on the Shira, not on the Karbanos, but okay, but that's what's happening over here. Okay, so Rav Yochim and Zakkai experienced in one of the last years of the Beis Hamikdash that there was a minor catastrophe where the Edom came only after Mincha, the Levim sang the wrong Shira, or at least that's the way I presented the Mishnah. Gemara starts off the discussion in the following: Ma kilkolo kilkol Levim b'shir. Now, so the first the Gemara goes on to explain that what was the kilkol, what was the calamity, it was as far as the Shir is concerned. So what does that mean? Meaning, what did the Levim actually do? Mincha, 30th day, Edom didn't come yet. So what did they do in terms of the Shir? So hacha targima, so here in Bavel, so the way they understood the Mishnah, ishalo amru ishira kol ikar. Okay, so they didn't say Shir at all. Okay, by the way, if you've noticed, the word Shir goes male, goes female, it's Shir, it's Shira. Okay, so it's one of those words in Lashon HaKodesh that can be both male and female. Okay, so that's and there are obviously there are going to be subtle differences between them, but that's why we keep going back and forth. Anyway, so in Bavel, so the way they understand the Mishnah, they didn't say anything, meaning because of uncertainty, so therefore they elected just not to say it. They didn't say Shir, and Rav Zera Amru Shamru Shir Shochol Im Tamishal Ben Arbaim, and Rabbi Zera says no, you misunderstood. The kilkel was that they said the wrong shir, meaning they did say shir. The shir that they sang was the Shir Shachol. Turns out now that because the Edom came after Mincha, so that day was declared to be Rosh Hashanah. So we said the wrong shir in the afternoon. Amala Rebbe Zera la'ava b'rei poktanilahu. So Rebbe Zera says to his son, look, go teach him the following, meaning teach them, who's the them? The B'nai Bavel. Meaning the B'nai Bavel are not saying the right pshat in the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us that they were makakal b'shir. According to the yeshivas in Bavel, it means they didn't say anything. And Rebbe Zera says that's the wrong pshat. The kilkel was that they said the wrong shira. And Rebbe Zera turns to his son. His son's name was Ava. Okay, second time in our Masechta we were introduced now to him. And he says to him, go teach him the following brisa, because I'm right. My pshat is correct. How do I know that? Because he tkinish alayhi mekam. He made a sechosh ala kadeshiye shas bayom lahakrif tmidim and musafim v'niskeim v'lamar shira shelo b'shibush. So over here in a brisa, very similar to our Mishnah, a description of what happened once upon a time. So they would not accept witnesses from Mincha and onward, so that there would be proper amount of time to offer the Tamid, the Musaf, and also that the Shira would not be said incorrectly. Now, Now, the way I'm saying it over, it fits in really well with the words of the Braisa, because I'm saying that they said the wrong Shira. That's exactly what the Braisa says. That's Shibush. But Ella, Iyamar, Lo Amar Klal, but if you want to learn like the B'nai Bavel, that the correct shot is they didn't say any Shira whatsoever, so how did you understand the Braisa? The Braisa says that Shevelomar Shira Shelo B'Shibush. Sounds like they said something, but just incorrectly. So the Maisha Gomer says, no, my Shibush Ika, my Shibush Ika, that's the end of the question. So the Gemara's answer, Kevin, the Lo Amar Klal, Ein Lecha Shibush Gadol Mizeh. Okay, so in defense of the B'nai Bavel, so Shibush could mean that, not that you said the wrong one, but you didn't say it. Not saying it was also incorrect, meaning if in fact there was a requirement to say the correct Shira and you didn't say anything, that's also considered Shibush. Okay. So we could defend the B'nai Bavel. Meisav Rav Acha Barhuna, so the Gemara now is going to be challenging. Now another time, the pshat of the B'nai Bavel based on the following here, a slightly longer brisa. Tamashav Rosh Hashanah Shachar is Krav Kehilchasa. So the Tamashav Rosh Hashanah, so you offer it Kehilchasa, like a regular morning carbon. Now, as I already got done saying, but I'm just saying over Rashi, and as far as the Shira is concerned, we treat it like a weekday carbon. At this juncture, Edom haven't come yet. We don't know whether it's in fact Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so we'll say a regular weekday weekday Shira. Now, b'musaf ma'u omer, now by musaf, what did they say? Now, obviously, if we're talking about musaf, it means the Edom came. Okay, so we're offering now carbon musaf. And what was the shira that was said together with the musaf? Osomar Omer, Harninu, Lelukim, Uzenu, Harila, Leke Yaakov. Okay, that is a perek in Tehillim. We're familiar because we say it every Thursday. So every Thursday, every Thursday we get on to the 81st chapter of Tehillim. And Lam Nasech, Lagitas, Leasaf, Harninu, Lelukim, Uzenu. Now, why is the Shach to say that in Rosh Hashanah? So we know why, right? We read a couple of psukim in Tikkun b'Chodesh Ofar b'Keselim Chagenu. Okay, and we've numerous times darshan that this pasuk is in relationship to Rosh Hashanah. So that's the appropriate shir that should be said during Musaf. So uven Mincha Ma'omer. Now, what do you say during Mincha? So Kol Hashem Yachel Midbar. Okay, so you say Kol Hashem, a reference to Maimon Har Sinai, the Kolos, the Shofar that's done by Maimon Har Sinai. Good. So that's the proper shir that you say by Mincha. Now, uvizman shechal Rosh Hashanah lios bechamisha b'Shabbos. Now, what happens when Rosh Hashanah coincides with Thursday? So, if Rosh Hashanah coincides with Thursday, so now we're going to end up repeating this parak in Tehillim. So, she'ashira shalo harninu lokim uzenu. So, lo hayu omre b'shachar is harninu. So, what you would do is that you would not say in the morning harninu. You wouldn't start off with this parak. She'mim nesha chosef v'kofas haparak. Because what you're going to end up doing is that you're going to end up repeating it during Musaf. So Elamau Omer. So what you'll do is as follows: Hasi Rosi Misevo Shichmo. So you start with Hasi Rosi. Now I was quite frankly confused because isn't that the same parak? So the answer is yes, it's the same parak. So it happens to be second half of the parak. So what you'll do now is you'll start in the middle in the second half of the parak. Hasi Rosi Misevo Shichmo. V'imbau Edom Achar Tamash Hashachar. Now if Edom come at a later point in time, so Omer Harninu. So you're going to start with the. With the first half of the parak. Alpha Pisha Chosef Kofas Haparak. Now it's true that what you end up doing is that for the second half you end up repeating, but okay, so what? So you repeat the second half. Good. So now, all this is the clear instructions of the Braisa in terms of what the proper Shira should be said on Rosh Hashanah. Okay? Let's just quickly recap. Right in the morning, in the Tamish Shachar, so assuming, of course, that Edom have not come, so what you'll do is you'll just simply say the regular Shira Schol. Good. Then when Edom come, so then there's going to be a Musaf. What do you say for Musaf? You say, Kapitol Pei Aleph. Good. Then what happens is by Mincha, a separate parak altogether, right? The 29th parak of Tehillim, Kol Hashem Yachel Midbar. Good. That is on a standard Rosh Hashanah. Now what you're going to do, if Rosh Hashanah happens to coincide with Thursday, so now in the morning, if you start off to the beginning of Kapitol Pei Aleph, the problem becomes that you may end up repeating it later on. We don't want the repetition. So what you'll do is you'll start off halfway through, and then what you'll do, in fact, if in fact the Edom come, is that for Musaf, you start at the beginning of the parak. You're going to be repeating the second half of the parak for reasons which I'm not sure I can articulate. It doesn't bother. That's fine. Okay. That's the details of the Braisa. And now the Gemara says, Iyamar bishlam kol hechad de mistafka amin and shira dechol. So look, What was my position, right? This is Rabbi Zeira now speaking. My position was, is that for with a lack of knowledge of knowing which day it is, whether it's Rosh Hashanah or whether it's Chol, so you say, you say the Shira Chol, the weekday Shira. Good. So Hainu Dekamra Amar V'Koflo. So then you totally understand. Meaning, what was the concern? The concern is you're going to end up repeating. But Ela Iamar Lo Amar Klal, but you, meaning the B'nai Bavo, who were insistent that because of lack of knowledge, you're going to say nothing. So my Omro V'Koflo. Well, if you don't know what day it is, and your approach is that you should be saying nothing, so then you said nothing, so then what are you doing repeating? You're not repeating anything. So the Gemara says, Shani Hasim Deshira Deyumehu. So the Gemara says, yeah, but, okay. So the B'nai Bavo would defend themselves, and they would say, you're talking about Thursday, and you're talking about Thursday morning? That's the Shira of the Yom. For as far as the Shira of the Yom is concerned for Shacharis, so for that, we would even say that you say the standard Shira Shochol. I'm not talking about Shacharis, we're talking by Mincha now. By Mincha already, where we're uncertain in terms of what should have been said, we don't know by Mincha time what should be said. Edom haven't come yet, they may end up coming. So for that, we're going to maintain that you say nothing. Okay, that would be the B'nai Bavel's defense. Okay, Tanya. Gemara quotes a Braisa. Okay, Adkan, that really takes us to the end of the discussion. In other words, so now we know about a new Takan Rav Yochim and Zakkai, that after Mincha, they would no longer accept the Edom today, because what happened once upon a time is that the Edom did come after Mincha, the Levim said the wrong Shira, and that was a Kilkel, and so therefore, as a result of preserving and making sure that the Avodah is done correctly, so therefore, there was an observed day of Rosh Hashanah, if in fact Edom came in a Mincha Lamala, but the actual day of Rosh Hashanah will be pushed off to the next day. Good. Okay. And then after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, Rav Yochim and Zakkai brought it back to the original, which was that there would be Mekabel the Edom the whole day. Okay. Tanya. We are on Lamed Aleph. I'm an Aleph. We are the very top line. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mishum Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so this is now a Braisa. We're familiar with this Braisa. We saw this back in Tamid. Some say it, some have the minhag of saying it on Shabbos. I say some, I mean the Ashkenazim. I'm not sure if you, well, anyway. So, Barishon Mayu Omer. And now what we're going to be doing is we're going to be explaining why on every day of the week there is a separate shear that is connected to that day. It's what we call Shir Shal Yom. So, Omrim Lashem Artsim Aloa, Al Shem Shekana Vehikne, Vishale Baolamo. And so we're just basically attaching the themes of each of the Parakim to the day of the week as it relates to Maisa Bracious. So, day number one, so Lashem Ha Artsim Aloa, Akash Baruch Hu created. Good. Bishani Mahayo Omrim, I'm going to do this a little bit on the quicker side. I encourage you, please take a look at Rashi. Rashi gives a little bit more explanation for each one of the days. Anyway, B'sheni Ma'ayu Omrim, so on the second day, Gadol Hashem Omolam Ma'od. Okay, so Kapitol Mem Ches, and Al Shem Shechilik Ma'isav Umalach Aleihem. So at that point in time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Brios. Created division, right? He made a division between the upper heaven, the lower. On day number three, what you and I call Tuesday. So Elokim Nitzav Ba'adas Kel, Al Shem Shegila Aretz Bechachmaso. The land was exposed. V'heichin Tevel Adaso. Okay, the land was prepared. B'Reviyah Hayomrim, now on day four, what you and I call Wednesday. So Kel Nekamos Hashem, Al Shem Shebara Chama Levan Ve'asili Parah Me'ov Dehen. So Kadosh Baruch Hu created all the celestial bodies and eventually, anyone who worships them is going to be extracted punishment. Okay, seemingly from the actual Levana Chama themselves. Okay, anyway. So, b'chemishi ayu omrim harninu lukim uzenu al shem shabara ofas v'dagim lishabech lishmo. Okay, that which gives praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the animals give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'shishi ayu omrim Hashem malach yez levesh al shem shegamra malachto umalach aleihem. And Yom Shishi, Kadosh Baruch Hu finished, and he now becomes the Melech. B'shviyah Hayomim is Mashilim HaShabbos Yom Shekulo Shabbos. And now, what about on Shabbos? What's the Shir Shal Yom Shabbos? So it's Mizmor Shir. It's the Kapitel Tzadi Beis 92. And why? So interesting. So right, you and I would have said, or at least I would have said, has to do with the fact that Shabbos. Nothing to do with Shabbos. Meaning that there will come a time where the whole world will be like Shabbos. Okay, which we're going to explain better in just a moment. Aber Rami Nechemia. Ma ra'u, now in our girsa we have the word chachamim, but let's say Rabbi Akiva. That's Rashi's girsa. Ma Rabbi Akiva lachalik ben aprakim alalu. So Rabbi Nechemia, who presumably now is dialoguing with Rabbi Yehuda, meaning in the beginning of the brisa, Rabbi Yehuda is quoting Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Nechemia comes along and Rabbi Nechemia says to Rabbi Yehuda, that's not what Rabbi Akiva said. You're not saying it correctly. Because what are you doing? For the first 6 days, so the perek is corresponding to Maisa Bracious. And then for the seventh day, it has not to do with the past, but it has to do with something, some event in the future. Like that doesn't make any sense. Rabbi Akiva, when he said it over, he was consistent. It all has to do with the past, and now the Gemara is going to go over it again. And here I'm going to read even quicker. So Ella Brishon Shekana Behikna Vishala Belama Bashani Shekhilik Maisa Vamalach Alayim Bashishi Shegila Arts Bechachmaso Vehekin Tevalada So Bervisha Barachama Levana Vasili Parame of Dam Bechamisha Shabarofos Vedagim Lashabech Lashmo Bishishi Shekama Malachto Malach Alayim Bishvi'i. Here comes the point of contention. Bishvi'i Al Shem Shishabas. And do you know why on the seventh day we say Mizmor Shilin Yom HaShabbos? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested on that day. Meaning by Maisa Bracious. Historically. Okay. And that's why we say Mizmor Shilin Yom HaShabbos. Not having to do with a future event. Now, what future event are we making reference over here? So the Gemara goes on to explain. Ve'kamilthagi b'derav Ketina. The argument is within the sheet of Rav Ketina. The Am Rav Ketina. Three times in Shas, the Gemara tells us this, the statement of Rav Ketina. Here, Avodah Zarah, Sanhedrin. So Shisa Afe Shani Have Amav Echad Charuf. So we Jewish people believe in global warming. But not the right... But we have our own Masorah in terms of what's going to happen. So what's going to happen is that Rav Ketina teaches us that the world will exist for 6,000 years. Okay, so we're right now 5782. Okay, so we have a little more than 200 plus years to go, according to Rav Ketina and his Masorah. And then what's going to happen is that in the seventh millennia, so the world will be destroyed. And the world will be desolate for that year. So the world is going to experience a Shabbos, a millennia of Shabbos. That is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the mizmor that we're saying on Shabbos, that's what it corresponds to. Now, Shenemar v'niska v'sham levado b'yamahu. Okay. So that is a mesorah. So Abaye amar trecharuv. Now, Abaye disagrees. Abaye says, no, that's not the right mesorah. The right mesorah is that there's going to be two millennia of desolation. Shenemar yechayenu miyomayim. Okay, fine. And he's got a pasuk that supports that as well. And as Rashi points out over here, so according to Abaye, so he can't explain that the Mizmor of Shabbos has to do with the future, because that's Mizmor Shirli Yom HaShabbos. And Yom, as far as the Kadosh Baruch Hu is concerned, is one millennia, not two millennia. Okay, so that means to say that Abai will have to be in agreement with Reb Nechemya's version that it's not going on the future, but rather it's going on the past. It's on the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested. Okay. B'musrei d'Shabbos amayu omrim. We are back now. In other words, the Braisa was telling us what exactly is a Shir Shal Yom. So we went through the 7 days of the week. Now, Musaf of Shabbos, what do you say? Omrim, Amrav, Anan, Barav, Amrav, Hazivlach. All right, so you say Shiras Hazinu. And not only do you say Shiras Hazinu, you break it up into six partios. Okay, and Va'amrav, Chana, Barav, Amrav, Kedach Shechokin, Kan, Kach, Kochin, Bevesab, Knesses. And by the way, that's how you break up the Aliyahs and Shul. Okay, breaking up the Aliyahs and Shul. Okay, so the only thing we know, and as far as the instructions in the Mishnah Megillah, which Mirz Hashem is coming up later, is that we have to break it up into seven aliyahs for Shabbos, six aliyahs for Yom Kippur, five aliyahs for Yontif, four aliyahs for Chol HaMoed. Good. That's our instructions. How to break up the aliyahs? So we're never given instructions in terms of how to break it up. We have a Masorah, right? Sometimes, by the way, it's not all the same Masorah, right? Sometimes you'll find a discrepancy, right, in the stone Chumashim and in the current Chumashim, there are various menagams in terms of how to break it up. Anyway, there are basic rules in terms of what makes a full aliyah, which we're going to get to when we do Megillah. But outside of that, where to break up exactly, no instructions. This is it. Meaning the one occasion where we have very, very clear instructions from the Gemara, how to break up the aliyahs of Parshas Hazinu. Although when I say clear instructions, we're only given a mnemonic. Meaning we got to find the psukim that start off with Hey, Zion, Yud, Vav, Lamed, Chaf. Okay, and if you can imagine, but you don't have to imagine. So the Rishonim are not super in agreement in terms of which psukim we're making reference to. But Regardless. Okay, that's already more information than necessary. Anyway, so the Shira of Shabbos would be the Shira of the Shir HaZinu, broken up into these six paragraphs. In a moment, the Gemara is going to want to know, do we say all six in one Shabbos, or do we do like on a rotation? Okay, the Gemara is going to ask that question in just a moment. B'mincha de Shabbos amayu omrim. Now, minchas on Shabbos. So what's the Shira? So Amar Rav Yochanan, az yashir, mi chamocha, the az yashir. Okay. Two az yashir, so Rashi says, no. Yes, but not the same az yashir. Meaning the first az yashir is the one in Bishalach, and the second one is in Parshas Chukas. Okay. Right? The shir is habe'er. So, I bay lehu, hanikula b'chad Shabbasa Amar lehu, o dilma, kol Shabbasa v'Shabbasa Amri chad. So the Gemara now wants to know, how exactly is it done on the rotation basis? Meaning all six, one Shabbos? Or is it broken up and a six is done every Shabbos? So Tashma Detanya Amar Rav Yossi Achir Rishona Omeres Achas Shnia Chozeres Shtayim. So the Gemara says it's broken up into six parts for six separate Shabbosim. Now what comes out now in the way Rashi understands the Brice, it comes out like this. So that four Mosaf, so what are we going to be doing? We're going to be doing Hazinu, but in six parts. So on Shabbos part one, second Shabbos second part, et cetera, et cetera. What about the Mincha rotation? The Mincha rotation is going to be Az Yashir and Michamocha and Az Yashir. But that's on a three Shabbos rotation because those are three separate partios. Good. So now that means then that on the Hazina rotation, which is 6 weeks, so you're going to be doubling the Az Yashir rotation, which is 3 weeks. All right. Hopefully that was clear. Okay. Weiter. Shema Mina, Kol Shabbos v'Shabbos Amri Chad. Shema Mina. Okay. So that means to say that every Shabbos we're only saying one section of Az Yashir, of not Az Yashir, one section of Ha'azinu, for six consecutive Shabbosim. And that means that by the six Shabbos we're going to be finishing Hazinu. Again, we're not talking about the Kriyas HaTorah for the Parshas HaShavua. We're talking about the Shira that was said by the Levim in relationship to the Karbanos. Am Rav Yehuda Bar Idi, Am Rav Yochanan. Okay. A little bit of Agadata to finish up the first half of today's daf. Esther Masos Nasal Shechina Mikrai. So, 10 different stations that we went through in the Midbar. The Shechina went through 10 different stopping stations in the Midbar. Uchenegdim Galta Sanhedrin Migamara. Now that's based on Psukim. Now as far as the Sanhedrin is concerned, so there were 10 places where the Sanhedrin went in exile after Churban Beis Hamikdash, and that we know Migamara. Now when the Gemara says Gemara, it means that it's Torah Shabbat Peh. We have a tradition. Now, so as far as the Shechina is concerned, so the Shechina went into a galus. Now, to the best of my understanding, I can't do this really that well, but the basic idea, however, I do understand, and that is that there was separation between us and the Shechina, right? As we move further and further away in terms of our behavior, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu also moved further away. So where was HaKadosh Baruch Hu originally? So that he was in the Kaparis. The Shechina was in the Kaparis. Okay. So, Mikaparis Likruv. Now, what we'll do is we'll take out the next two words, Mikruv Likruv, right? That probably should be omitted, and I did the count over here. And it works out well, meaning when you take that out, as do all the Hagos tell us to do, so it comes out now that there are going to be an additional 9 more stations. So, Mikruv Lemiftan, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu now moves from the Kruv to outside of the Kruv to the threshold of the Bais. Miftan lechatzir, from there to the chatzir, mechatzir lemizbech, to the mizbech, and the movement over here is just further exterior from the kodesh hakodashim. Omi mizbech legag, omi gag lechoma, mechoma leir, meir lahar, lahar, mehar lemidbar, omi midbar alta viyashva bimkoma. And then the shechina moved from the midbar to its place. Okay, again, I wish I could help more. Okay, I'm tapped out in terms of my understanding. So shenemar alecha shuv al makomi. And now, mi kaparas lekruv, mi kruv lekruv, mi kruv lemiftan dechsiv. And now the Gemara is just going to give the supporting psukim. So again, I'm going to do this rather quickly, but these are supporting psukim because again, the whole premise is that we could see this movement in the psukim. So, v'noat alecha sham, v'nibarti itach me al hakaparas. So we see that the original location of the Shekhinah was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Kaparis, the covering of the Aron. Now, Uksiv Ayukav Al Krov Ayaf, and now Psukim describing that he moved from there. He flew, the Shekhinah flew from there. Uksiv Achvod Al Kayisrael Na'ala Me'ala Krov Asher Hayalav Al Miftan Abayis. And then the movement was to go from the Kruv to the Miftan. That's the threshold. Now, Umi Miftan Lachatzir Dichsiv, Vayimalei Abayis Asanam Vachatzir Malei Esnoga Kvod Hashem. Okay, so we have a pasuk that describes how it moved to the Chatzir. Umi Chatzir Mizbeach Dichsiv Reis Es Hashem Nisav Al HaMizbeach. Now, you understand, by the way, that the Gemara, what the Gemara is doing over here is it's really assembling a whole bunch of scattered psukim in Tanakh in order to create this narrative. But the creation of this narrative is because the Gemara obviously had a Mesora. Now, umimizbech legag. Now we move to the gag dechsev tov l'shev v'chal pinas gag. Migag lechomet dechsev hine Hashem nitzav v'chomas anach. Mechomas leir dechsev kol Hashem leir yikarei. Umiir lahar dechsev v'yal kvod Hashem me'al tocha ir v'yamod al lahar Hashem mikedem leir. Umihar lemidbar dechsev tov shevas ba'aretz midbar. Umimidbar al tav yashva b'mkoma dechsev eilecha shuva el mekomi. And the Shekhinah goes back to its source, meaning no longer is the Shekhinah with us, but after 10 degrees of separation, further and further away, so then eventually it goes back to its source. So, Rav Yochanan Sheshi Chadashim Nitakva Shekhinah L'Yisrael B'Midbar Shem Yachzu B'Tshuva Kem Shalachazu Amar Tibach Atzman Shenemar Ve'enu V'Shem Techalanu Umanos Avad Menachem V'Tikvasam Mapach Nefesh. And then Rav Yochanan also has as part of the Masorah that on that last movement where the Shekhinah went to the Midbar, so it 6 months gave us an opportunity to do tshuva. We didn't do tshuva, and that's when the Shekhinah totally leaves, totally goes back to the source, and really unflattering words for the Jewish people at that point in time. Okay, if you have a translation, read inside. Not good. Okay, uchenegdan. So that was the exile of the Shekhinah from the Jewish people. Now, running parallel with that, is the exile of the Sanhedrin. Obviously, historically much later. In other words, we're talking about after the Churban Bayis Sheni, but still, exile. And again, the movement is, well, over here, I'd like to say further and further away, but that's not perfectly accurate, as you'll see in just a moment. Migamara. Now, the Gemara says, now we know this because of tradition, meaning, obviously, there are no Pesukim, obviously. Meaning, this is an event that occurred after Bayis Sheni. The last Pesuk that made its way into Tanakh is the beginning of Bayis Sheni. Right, that's it. That's the last we have in terms of Sifrei Tanakh. So obviously, we're not going to have any pesukim that describes this. So Milishkas Agazis Lechanos. So we go from Lishkas Agazis. That's obviously where the Sanhedrin is primarily, ideally, should be. That's in the Azara. Okay, right. If you have a picture of the Beis Hamikdash, the second Beis Hamikdash. So where we are holding in the northeast corner of the Azara. Okay, anyway. So, and then from there we go to Chanos. Now, Chanos is the name of a place. Okay. Rashi describes that's in Harabais. Anyway, Mechanos to Yerushalayim, from there you go to Yerushalayim, Liavna. Okay, so here you can see the movement of exile. So those are exiles 1, 2, and 3. They're going to be 10 in total. We're now on the top of the Amud Beis. Umi Yavna Leusha. So from Yavna we go to Usha, and Usha Liavna. So this is where I told you it's going to get a little bit confusing because it's not a one directional movement. So we go from Yavne to Usha, from Usha back to Yavne, Umi Yavne to Usha, and then from Yavne back to Usha. Okay, fine. So right, a little bit of ping ponging, if you will. So Umi Usha to Shafram, Umi Shafram to Beisharim, Umi Beisharim to Tzipori, Umi Tzipori to Tveria. Okay, and I counted, and it comes out to 10. That was 10 exiles. V'tveria amuka mikula, and Tveria happens to be the deepest of them all. Okay, now in terms of depth over here, it could be making a physical reference in terms of where it is topographically, but probably not. In other words, probably talking about a spiritual depth. Shenemar v'shafalta me'eretz tidberi. Rebbe Elazar omer sheish galo shenemar. Now Rebbe Elazar has a different Masorah. It's not 10 exiles, but rather 6 exiles. And he has a pasuk. Now obviously, the Navi over here is forecasting. Because the Navi in Yirmiyahu was writing this hundreds of years earlier. But, okay. Ki asach yoshe maram kiryan iskava yashpilenu, yashpilenu ad eretz yigienu ad afar. Okay, and I encourage you, take a look at Rashi over here. So there are 6 references over here of exile in that pasuk. Amrav Yochanan, And just to wrap up on this particular topic, Rav Yochanan says, "Misham atidim li gael." Eventually, we're going to be exiled from there, from Tveria. Shenemri nari me'afar kumi shevi. Okay, Adkan. Okay, so how did we get here? Such a good question. So the right. How did we get here? So right. I assume right. We're talking about the Chorban Beis Hamikdash that Tekanos Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai made because of Chorban Beis Hamikdash, the various movements of the Sanhedrin as a result of that. Okay, I assume that's how we got there. Anyway, let's begin. Let's start the next Mishnah. Good. Time is good. Let's get underway. I'm Rav Yoshua ben Karcha ve'odzo sitkin Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai shafil rosh beizim b'chol makom shelo yu'edim hochin el l'makom avad. So Rav Yeshua ben Karcha says, I have another one to add to the list. Another Tekanos Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai. Again, this is in reference to Eidos HaChodesh, and that's the following. So Edom are coming. Now Edom are making their way to the Beis Avad. The Beis Avad is basically where we expect the Sanhedrin to be. It just happens to be that right now the Rosh Beis Din, so he got called away. Emergency, whatever the circumstances were, he got called away. Now the Edom themselves don't have to follow the Av Beis Din. The Edom themselves, if they go to the Beis Avad, they can provide their testimony in the Beis Avad. The Rosh Beis Din is not there. Okay, the Rosh Beis Din is not there. They don't have to follow wherever the Rosh Beis Din went, and they could just simply submit their testimony to whoever is remaining in the Beis Avad. That was a special takana that was made. And as Rashi points out over here, the purpose of the takana, and the Gemara is going to say it. The Gemara is going to end up saying, is that if we're gonna have these Edom follow the Rosh Beis Din wherever he goes, so then you can imagine that the Edom the next time, next month comes along, they're gonna be like, remember what happened last month? We went to the Beis Avad in order to give our testimony. All right, the Rosh Beis Din wasn't there. We then had to go on a second trip. You know what? Let somebody else will do this. And as we've seen as a constant theme throughout the Eidos HaChodesh, we want to promote them to come. We do not want to make it any more difficult than it already is. Okay. The Gemara follows up with a story. So Aisa said to Azmun Ladina. So there was a woman, and for whatever reason, she was subpoenaed. She was subpoenaed to go to court. Obviously, she was involved in some sort of litigation, whatever the circumstances were. So, and she ignored the subpoena. Well, actually, let's give more details. So, So in the subpoena, so she was told that you are demanded, I was going to say requested, but it's more than a request. So you're demanded to present yourself at the court of Amemar in the town of Narada. So, Azo Amemar Lemechuza. So now, fine. So she honors the subpoena and she goes to Narada. It happened to be that Amemar at the time was not in Narada, so he had to go travel to Mechuza. Okay. A town, next town over. Okay. I don't know distance wise how far we're talking about. Anyway, velo azla basre. So she said, look, as far as I'm concerned, she basically said, I'm good. I don't have to honor the subpoena anymore. I know the subpoena told me that I have to present myself in front of a Maimar, but it also said Narada. Here I am in Narada. I'm good. I'm going to get a check now in terms of satisfying the subpoena. Now, kasa psicha lave. Ilava. And so now, as far as Amemar was concerned, Amemar was really unhappy. He held her in contempt of court. Not only did he hold her in contempt of court, so he wrote a shamta against her. He excommunicated her. So Amar le Ravashi la Amemar. So Ravashi's trying to understand. And he turns to Amemar and he says, V'ha'anan t'nan, afila rosh beizim b'chol makam, shalo yu'edim hochin ala l'makam avad. I know the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah. Mishnah Rosh Hashanah says is that when you go to the Beis Avad, where you're expecting the Rosh Av Beis Din to be, and he's not there, so that's good. You don't have to go any further. So, shouldn't that be the same over here? Meaning, what he's trying to understand is, why did you write an excommunication? Why did you write an ashamta against her? Didn't she do what she was supposed to do? So, Amar Lei, so Amemar says, no. So, no. Because when it comes to Eidos HaChodesh, again, what is our prime objective by Eidos HaChodesh? Encourage, not discourage. So, over there, if they make it to the Beis Avad, where they expected the Av Beis Din to be there. He wasn't there. I know technically, really, you should be submitting your testimony in front of the Av Beis Din, but we don't want to discourage. If we're gonna force them to go on a second trip, this is gonna be the last time they're coming. Not only that, but they're not gonna have positive things to say to other people in terms of, hey, it's a really good idea to go and testify about the new moon. It's not a good idea. We don't want that. So therefore, for the Eidus HaChodesh, you stop in the Beis Avad. Even if the Av Beis is not there, that's fine. That's the Takana. However, Vahacha, but over here, we're talking about a woman who was subpoenaed because of some sort of litigation. Financial litigation doesn't matter. Well, actually, I take that back. It may matter. So over here, Eved Lo V'Lish Malveh. The Pasuk in Mishlei, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the end of the third parak, discusses this in much more detail. But basically, when you are a borrower, so you are now at the mercy of the lender. And not just in that you owe the lender money, but also in any kind of legal proceedings, so you're going to have to yield to the lender. The lender wants to meet in a particular Beis Din, you're going to go and travel to that particular Beis Din. Now, over here, what I just gave is a real gross oversimplification of the rules. The rules are somewhat more detailed, but the basic idea is that when you're the borrower, so the Pasuk in Mishlei describes it in really strong terms, Eved lo v'li'ish malveh. You're basically a servant. In other words, you are going to be totally subordinate to whatever you need to do. So, okay, so the Av Beis Din now is not in Nahada. The Av Beis Din needed to travel to Mechuzah. Okay, you're going to have to follow. Okay, so Amemar is explaining that's why the expectation was that she needed to go to and follow the and follow Amemar to the town of Mechuzah, and that's why the Shamta, the excommunication against her, was in fact justified. Okay, let's do a little bit more for today. Tana Rabbanan, in Kohanim Rishayim La'alos B'Sandaleim L'Duchen V'Zu Echa Mitesha Tachana She'itkim Rav Yochanan Zakkai. So now we continue here a Braisa that Kohanim cannot go and duchen with their sandalim. And Rashi writes over here, Ein Kohanim Rishayim La'alos B'Sandaleim L'Duchen She'nosim Kapeim V'Mesechet Sotam First Time B'Perek Ve'Elo Ne'amarin. And as far as why is concerned, so Rashi says, see the Gemara in Sota, right? It might distract, right? People may be concentrating on the shoes and not on the bracha. Okay. Again, a simplification in terms of why it is that they have to take off their shoes. But anyway, what we got over here is another Takana of Rav Yochanan Zakkai, and we also got a sum total, meaning 9 in total. Now, 9 in total, she's the Hyperka. So the Gemara says, okay, now, how did we get to the number 9? So if you've been counting in the Mishnayos, so we got 6 in this Perek. So right, this Mishnah that we just learned, plus 5 of the previous Mishnayos in this Perek, V'chada de Pirka Kama. Also, in addition to that, in the previous Perek, what did we learn in the previous Perek? That you were only Mechal Shabbos on 2 of the months for Eidus HaChodesh. Only in the month of Nisan and the month of Tishrei. That was a Takana of Yochanan Zakkai. Okay, good. So what do we have right now? We have 5 plus 1, so that's 6. So what are we missing right now? We're missing 3. Okay, so here we go. V'idach d'tanya. So the Gemara here quotes a braisa. Gershon is garbiz manazet, so achshiafish rov v'lekino. So when you are megayer, so you have to bring a karban, right? In other words, there are how many steps to gerus? So there is mila, there's tefillah b'mikvah, and then there's a karban. Okay, now, that works when there's a Beis HaMikdash. When there's no Beis HaMikdash, so what do you do? So, according to the Tanakhama, you set aside money. I'm Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Rav Shimon ben Elazar says, that's a terrible idea. Not only is it a terrible idea, for Nimna ala Rav Yochanan bitla mimna atakala. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai in his court was mevato, the requirement to set aside money for the karban. Because you're setting aside money for the karban, so that when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, so now you're going to have the money already set aside. But now what do you have? You have Moe's Hektish lying around? What's going to end up happening is that someone's going to misappropriate and someone's going to misuse it and be Moe Behektish, and that's a terrible idea. So therefore, we're just going to wave it all together. Obviously, the carbon is not Ma'ak of the Geras. Okay. Idach, Plukta, the Rav Papa, Rav Nach, Mar Yitzchak. So now, as far as what is the next of the Takanas, Rav Yochanan Zakkai, so that is going to be subject to a Machlokas. A Machlokas between Rav Papa and Rav Nach Mar Yitzchak. Okay, we're going to pause over here as we're going to get involved in what is the possible next Takana Rav Yochanan Zakkai. Okay, it's going to get somewhat detailed, not too much, but we will pause over here, and that's where we're going to pick it up tomorrow. Let's quickly recap our daf today. Okay, on the Mishnah on Lamed Amud Beis, so we learned together another Takana Rav Yochanan Zakkai, notably that at the end of Bayasheni, because of an episode that happened on one occasion, so therefore Eidos HaChodesh was not accepted on the 30th day of Elul, Min HaMincha Ulamala. Everyone would still observe today as Rosh Hashanah, but the Eidos would only be testifying, and we would only make tomorrow the first day of Tishrei. Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, and also together with that would also result in now the second day of Rosh Hashanah. I understand it's a little bit confusing. The first day is an observed day of Rosh Hashanah, and the second day is actual Rosh Hashanah. And why? Because there was an occasion where Edim came from Minchan onward and Nekalkalu HaLevim B'Shir. So the Levim ended up messing up with the Shir. Now what exactly does that mean, messing up? Machlokus amongst the Amorim, exactly what that means. In Bavel, the way they understood it is, they didn't say Shir at all. Rabbi Zera says no. They said the Shir Shachol as opposed to the Shir of Rosh Hashanah, and that is an undoable mistake. As opposed to the Karban Musaf, which according to Tosos, you could bring even after the Tamashal Bein Harbayim, but as far as the Shir is concerned, so that was a mistake that was undoable, and so for the, so said this will not happen again. Rav Yochanan Zakkai was Mesakin, we do not accept Edim Min HaMincha Ulamala. After the Churban Beis HaMikdash, so Rav Yochanan Zakkai repealed that Gezerah and allowed the Eidos HaChodesh testimony even Min HaMincha Ulamala, obviously because now there's no longer a concern or consideration of Karban and Shir. That was really the first half of today's daf, more than the first half of today's daf, right? A lengthy discussion in the Gemara in terms of what exactly the Kilka was, no Shir or wrong Shir, Machlok is between the Bnei Bavel and Rebbe Zera. The Gemara discussed that in detail well into today's daf. Then, Samagadata, right? The Shir Shal Yom, what is the Shir Shal Yom? So on Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, so the Gemara introduced us to the Shir Shal Yom on a weekday, on Shabbos, Musaf, okay, and why do we say each perek respectfully to every single day of the week? Okay, machlokus in terms of why the Shir of Shabbos is Mizmor Shulam HaShabbos, machlokus Tanaim in terms of why that is, and whether it's talking about the past, whether it's talking about the future. And the Gemara gave a hesber in terms of that machlokas as well. More agadata on today's daf. The gullus of the Shechina from the Jewish people in the Midbar. The gullus of the Sanhedrin after Churban Bayis Sheni. Then, in the Mishnah, on the Amud Beis of today's daf, we went through another Takana of Rav Yochanan Zakkai. So notably, that when you're in Eid HaChodesh, you only have to go to the Beis Avad, even if the Av Beis Din happens to have traveled elsewhere, you don't have to follow the Av Beis Din. We learned a story today where the woman was subpoenaed, and she did not travel, she didn't follow a Meimar. She expected a Meimar to be in Mechuza. She went to Mechuza. He wasn't there. Okay, she didn't follow him. She was held in contempt. Shamta was written against her. Okay, that's different than Eidos HaChodesh, as the Gemara points out. Eidos HaChodesh is operating with a different goal. And then, 9 Takanas in total for Rav Yochanan Zakkai. We were introduced to one more, Gershon Isgayer. What's going to be an additional one? Stay tuned. That's coming up tomorrow.